Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
More and more, we hear in the news of young males going ballistic in their actions. Within them is built up this sense of aggression and frustration toward authority figures, or the lack thereof, and society as a whole. The underlying factor is the lack of confidence and trust in their own abilities to be successful and productive as an American citizen. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us this Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. Yes, time is moving on. Tonight, you're welcome to join us as we have a dialogue. The topic of our conversation is how to de-escalate the anger of a young male. How to de-escalate the anger of a young male. If you're just tuning in with us, this is a national-based dialogue sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute. And you can go to our website and learn more about us at www.bfcinstitute.com. And there's a information there on our various initiatives, but more specifically, this blog talk platform and this conversation. You can give us a call here and join the live conversation. Let me also say to our Facebook friends who are following us via the Facebook feed, feel free to join us there live. Appreciate you watching us there, but you can join the conversation live tonight. Call 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to entertain your question and comment. And as usual, we'll provide a monologue to kind of give us context for our conversation. I see we got some callers in queue. Pastor Ricky Wallace, our regular panelist, who co-host has been on with us, as well as some of our other callers who's been sharing with us. We appreciate that dialogue. Very fruitful conversation on this past Tuesday. And before I go any further, I should make this announcement. I will be on the road yet again. We're wrapping up our traveling events because, as I mentioned to you a couple of shows ago, we're a political candidate for state senate here in Tennessee now, and so we are making ourselves more available locally here in Nashville. Nonetheless, next Tuesday, Pastor Waller will be here with another powerful episode, and he will be able to share with you some very important things. So I hope you all will join him on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. I'll be back that following Thursday, but nonetheless, we hope you will join us. So did a splendid job, and they had some great conversation the last Thursday that I was not available. I was here, but I was attending another function. Nonetheless, want to make that announcement as well. Okay, having said that, we're going to go ahead into our monologue so that we can open up our phone lines to you, our listening audience. And again, I want to invite those on Facebook to join us, 657-383-0944. No question is crazy, out of sort. We do ask you, all we ask is just keep your conversation and things of that nature relevant to our topic as much as possible. Sometimes we digress or veer off necessarily so. We, as always, I know you'll do that anyway, show deference and respect to all of our callers. Sometimes I say some crazy things, so I don't expect that all agree on everything. But we sometimes we can agree to disagree, and later on we'll think about it and say, you know what? He may have been right about that. He may have been right about that. So nonetheless, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Docker. We're going to get right into our monologue here, and we'll be opening up our phone lines very, very shortly. In 2006, I authored a audio book. It was a limited amount of produced audio book, it was entitled "Let Us Make a God Am Man." No, we're not cussing. That's G-O-D-A-M Man, M-A-N. Antidotes for the Identity Crisis of the African Male in America. That was inspired largely by my work with my nonprofit and ministry in engaging young men, and we've been doing so now close to 20 years. This is what has helped us develop our subsequent writing, literary pieces and what have you that we've published. Nonetheless, tonight I'm going to share with you a little bit of the substance of that that book. And I hope that it will help you understand our broad topic, how to de-escalate the anger of a young male. You'll notice in the title I didn't say African-American male, because today in 2018 it's not just African-Americans who have become so angered and volatile. But we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Bear with us here. Malachi, the fourth chapter, verses 5 through 6 read, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." There are many social influences that tend to shape the urban male's self-image in America today. He is bombarded on a regular, constant 24-hour cycle, basis of a 24-hour cycle, with suggestions on television, from the radio, from his cell phone, all sorts of devices that are media savvy and geared toward telling him, dictating to him, in fact, how he should dress himself, how he should behave and present himself. Oftentimes, this doesn't serve him well, but nonetheless, this is the primary source that he gets information about how to present himself socially. Throughout his public training educationally, in elementary and secondary school, if he makes it that far through high school, he's exposed to the knowledge of everything except the essence of what it means to be a young man and a productive citizen not only in America, but in the world abroad. Okay? He doesn't know much about what his birthright is, nor his ethnic origin. Success has been defined from him as merely being able to make it through the public school system and get a good job. And if you don't make it through the public school system, go back, catch up, get a piece of paper, and get a good job. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a good and keeping a good job. In fact, that'll help you sustain yourself. But that's, I would call, the beginning of survival. At some point, you have to grow into a point of independence and living. His role as the head of a family now is constantly, I say constantly, being challenged and decimated with political and economic influences. In fact, young men are afraid to even talk about starting a family. It's almost as if it's a politically incorrect thing to do, to suggest to a young lady that you should join me and be my wife and help me start a family. For many, particularly in urban America, this is a significant issue. But the idea of him being the head of a family is just unreal and untenable. There's much inner confusion about what his convictions or religious affiliations should and could be. Unfortunately, we see too many times where even the institution of the church collectively has failed to provide a substantive presence and basis for even young people coming and establishing themselves. Okay? So this leads to this confusion about his own identity within himself. Often, the acquisition of resources for his day-to-day living, especially after he gets to a certain age where mama can't carry him and take care of him no more, 18, you heard her saying, you get 18, you got to get out of here. Right? Well, when he reaches that critical point and he has little means or substance for himself, because nobody's directed him or developed him or prepared him for that, what he does is he finds himself in a situation where, man, I got to get it the way I live. Huh? We're quick to tell him, though, hey, don't do this and don't do that and give me your gun, give me your drugs. But all he knows, particularly in the urban experience, is how to get his hustle on so he can have substance for day-to-day survival. Now, problem with that is oftentimes he finds himself like a wild animal trapped, caught up in a thicket, illegally labeled as a criminal and a derelict of society. All he was trying to do was to eat. Now, you can't blame a man for that, can you? He dropped out of high school. He dropped out of elementary school or even middle school. Got into trouble, went to juvenile, got a little record, got on paper. Everybody following him, you understand what I'm saying. Now you're going to tell me I can't make me a living? Really? What are they doing that at? What the world has done is showed him that we expect you to be independent, be responsible, and to produce something that is useful to humanity, but we have not prepared you adequately. I dare not say that this is the case for everybody, which is why I emphasize that this is common in the urban American experience. And quite often we know that one particular subgroup or ethnicity is African Americans that are facing this hard and heavy. But what I'm saying to you tonight is that that has been glorified so much by the media. This whole idea of getting on your hustle and doing your thing, that even Caucasian white males, in fact, I understand that over 40% of the rap music is purchased by Caucasian white males, right? Because somehow they want to be a part of this glory, this honor that the media has made this hustle, which started with a setback and a frustration. We're talking about how to de-escalate this anger. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more in just a second. I'm just trying to give you context and understanding of how we got here. All right, so we're absent a father in the home. We've grown up to the point where mama can't even change our diapers no more. We got to do that for ourselves. We got to feed ourselves and everything else. And we're at the point where society now has very little patience with us. They want what they want for us, even though we hadn't been prepared. Okay? Now, what he knows is, if I get me a ball or a bet or get into some sort of athletic arena that's popular, I can be a star. Get me a mic in my hand, man, and let me cock my head ace deuce at 1 o'clock. Jump and do me a dance, and man, hey, they're going to look at me, they're going to laugh, they're going to holler, and they're going to spend money to see me do that. I can get rich. Watch this. I can get some young girl, cause her to compromise her integrity and to use her body for me, and I can make a little money on the internet. Are y'all walking with me now? Where are they learning this from? What I'm suggesting to you is this anger that exists did not pop out of nowhere overnight, but it is a product of social engineering. And if we're not careful, we will continue to see this explosive behavior. And again, it's not just African-American males now that we see caught up now. We're seeing increasingly over the last 10 years more Caucasian males under 30 finding themselves exploding and taking their anger and frustration out on innocent people. The night before we finish, I hope we understand how to deal with that and to understand the nature of that problem. Every male has within him a drive, and his outward expression is largely directed by that drive. What it is an idea of who I am and how important I am and how people should accept or receive or respect me. If I have a low bar or threshold of respect for myself, how can you expect anyone else to show that same respect to you? But the sad part about it is, if I don't think I'm nobody, the next man can't be nobody. In fact, the way I lift myself up is to tear him down. Let me ask the question, how can a young man take a weapon and destroy the life of another human being? But when you don't feel very good about yourself, and it makes you feel better to know that you got over on someone else, or you think survival dictates that, that is the root of the problem. The urban male in America, however, historically, has related to certain struggles that starts with the breakdown in the family, extends to social conflict outside of home, and social annihilation from places you would think you would be welcome and you would want to see them grow. That's in the public school setting or at church or in social activities. Oftentimes in many areas, they get run out of certain public facilities like the library or the community center because their behavior is just unacceptable. Okay? And you wonder why they're mad. A writer by the name of Vance Franklin, wrote in his book Black Self-Determination in the 60s, he discussed the rise of what was called black theology. And what he looked at is how it was driven by a black nationalist mentality during this era of the 60s and the 70s, okay? But there was fault there, because while it encouraged black males to think about God and to think about faith and think about those things from a black perspective, it never prepared them to accept the realities of the fact that you are an American citizen. Everything was about being opposed to the dominant culture and the dominant group, but you never learn to properly integrate yourself within that society, which, whether you like it or not, you live in. Many young people never left the ghetto before in their lives. Many of them die in the ghetto. My point is that what this black nationalist thought did not do is to properly prepare them for the reality that at one point you're going to have to learn how to establish and identify yourself as an American by those principles that all Americans, irregardless of your ethnicity, have available to them. So when the black nationalist era faded, young men out there dangling now, well, shoot, if I can't be proud about being black, then who am I? Who do I call myself? Hence, further confusion. Okay? Even Christianity fell short. Yes, I'm a pastor for the last 22 years, but it fell short of providing them the guidance and the basis of spiritual identity to even help them in that way. Many of them turned to alternative type of religions and practices. But then they left that more despondent and decided to just give up on it all. So many of them are agnostic or atheists altogether. And the only God they believe in is their 9mm and their ability to care for themselves. Don't want to hear nothing else. All right? Now, so at the end of the day, what we have to be cognizant of is the fact that these young men are still here. And oftentimes, I'm convinced, and I'm not a clinician, let me make that clear, but I'm convinced, I have worked in clinical settings before as a counselor and so forth. I'm convinced that, and as a social scientist, I think I have at least anecdotal evidence of this, that there are many cases where young people are walking around with undiagnosed depression, which leads to greater mental illnesses. Because there's this phobia against going to get help, mental or psychological, emotional help, they tend not to do so, particularly in the African-American experience and in the urban area of America. Just like the no snitch rule, snitches get stitches, right? Well, I ain't crazy. I'm going to revert to God because God going to fix it for me. He know my heart and my mind, right? We justify this. But what happens is the babies get lost in this maze. And they don't have a clue as to why it is. They're always on edge, always ready to go to war against something that they perceive is a threat to who they are or what they want to be. All right. With that, let me offer you some stages violence. The violence we see. Quick to cowardly pick up a weapon and to take another life. There was a time in my come up when you had beef with somebody, you squared off in a circle. Y'all went toe to toe. Y'all went for it. Y'all squabbed up, as they say. Now guys can't fight. Now they just cowardly pick up a weapon and sneak up on you and kill you and kill a whole lot of other innocent people in the process. People don't even know who you are. It's not just black boys anymore. Increasingly, young white males have joined the fray. All right? Let me talk about these four stages of violence. First is fear that's driven by ignorance. When you don't know who you are, what you ought to be doing, or how to acquire for yourself, there's this fear that I might just totally dissipate, get lost, get locked up, get killed. So I'm on edge already. Then there's the anger that comes from this constant state of fear day by day. What am I going to do with myself? And it's manifested by the fear. Over time, that anger turns into anxiety, nervousness, uneasiness. oftentimes can't sleep regularly, can't eat regularly. Got to get some boll weed to calm my nerve. Are y'all talking to me tonight? Y'all don't mind if I talk to you, dude. This is Talk Straight. Got to give me a little liquor or something, a little book. Well, they don't drink Boone Farm no more. You know, the drink of the day, the alcohol. I got to get something to take my mind off, take the edge off. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. It affects your ability to work, to function in society, and to act normal from that anxiety that's caused by prolonged fear. We don't know when, we don't know where, and we can't tell you exactly how, but boom! It jumped off. Either they're dead or some innocent person or people are dead because of this explosive nature that's within them. Let me just share with you this right quickly, and I think it'll help you understand it. And we're coming to a 657-383-0944. This will kind of give you context for where young cats' minds are.
Trying to take it easy. Only way to go.
You already know this.
And so.
Hey, let's get it.
If you're looking for me, I'll be on the block on the day. Possibly sitting on a drop down. Because I'm a rider.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm getting stuck. Swinging the dice. Yeah.
Everybody know the game don't stop.
Come on, oh, hey, y'all, it's driving me. You call it riding, or I call it looking out for you, son. Get these clothes down to Mr. Johnson by 2 o'clock. And hurry up back.
I can't sleep. We living in hell. First they give us the work, then they throw us in jail. Road trip, yep. The wife, please, Lord, don't let me go to jail tonight. Who me? I'm a sole survivor. Ask about him in the street. The boy G's a rider. $100,000 on my wrist. Yeah, life sucks. The club dog, I'd rather count a million bucks.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Get in where you fit in. 657-383-0944. We're live tonight, and we got the lines wide open. Pastor Ricky Waller, what you say about it?
Hey, man, how you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine. I'm trying to de-escalate these little shawties, man, who out here angry and on edge. Can you help me tonight?
Man, we have to work with what we have, you know, and that is the desire to share good news with them, brother. And that is more than enough evidence to say that's still hope alive.
It's
well, it's capable of reaching them, so keep it alive and just keep speaking it in existence. The things that they stand in need of, and I tell you, brother, change will come.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's hope. That's hope. I'm going to talk about you tonight because you the reason I got this show going tonight. I'm going to hit you up, man. I'm going to hit you up in just a minute. This is that beautiful lady out of Peoria, Illinois, 8112, and her co-part, 3072. They'd be teaming up on us, Pastor Waller.
Oh, man, they making it known.
They'd be teaming up on us.
Yeah,
how you doing
news,
there? Hey, Angela Smith is on Facebook with how you doing, darling? Give us a call here if you like to, 657-383-0944. 8112, how you doing this evening?
I'm good. Thank you so much, Pastor. Both of you, Pastor.
All right. What about 3072? How you doing, darling?
Yeah.
I want y'all to, ladies, help me with this. Where did I go wrong with my assessment of these young men?
I don't think you did.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Nika, if I mean call your first name. But I apologize if I interrupted you. But I was sitting here listening.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote it down. This time I wrote something down. I said how to de-escalate the anger in a young man.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was thinking, I said, I think this is helping me to listen better to my grown sons as far as, well, to be more understanding about how a young man thinks.
Yeah.
As a woman, I don't know all things that a man knows, even though I feel as a mother who has been raised with that kid's father. However, I am looking for his guidance.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay, all right. What about 37-2? I know you got something to say. I know you got something to say.
I can see how somebody that is misguided can be led to frustration and anger, but I look at it like this. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm a human being too. I'm not a man, but I live in the world too, and things aren't easy for me. So, you know, I can't just resort to, like, not thinking by trying to make a life for myself committing crimes, because I won't have a life when I get caught.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get caught, that's nobody else's decision nor fault but my own that I chose that route. So I could see how they, if they're misguided, could think that it's somebody else's fault. But ultimately, I feel like it's their fault, and it would be my fault.
Can you guys speak into your phone a little louder so our Facebook friends can hear you a little bit better, if it's possible? If you can, that's fine. Yeah, let me put it this way, ladies. Go ahead, Pastor. What were you gonna say?
I said that was interesting in how she put that. You know,
yeah.
She could see how they would be lured into thinking that it's somebody else's fault. But that's the plan of the wicked one. The thought of just knowing that somebody else's fault is supposed to take place, especially if they don't know any better. So I think what she said was well put. And only if we have the right information flourishing and being pushed out into the world where it become attractive, until then, it would be more of them as we speak being lured into that style, because it's something that's been introduced to them, and it's called fast and easy money.
Yeah.
And can I say something?
Yes, they lured into that. And then when they started to have to deal with the issues once they get caught, for those that will get caught, and then you're trying to find ways to get up out of it, and it's so powerful that even with that, somebody else is going to still pick up where that person left off at and think that they're not going to get caught. So it's a powerful statement that you just made there. Very powerful.
Well, can I say something too? And
well,
I was just going to add the last part of when you get caught, because you will eventually if you don't get killed. When you get caught, you'll only be a repeat offender if you don't then realize that that was your choice and your decision. Once they can realize that, hey, I do truly call the shots, and I call bad shots, but now I'm going to call some different shots, then they just be, it'll be a repeat, like you said, cycle. I can't get out because they don't want to get out because they don't know how.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, hold that thought. I don't want to get too far away from this point. You said something, 3072, in reference to you not being a man or a male. Here's an interesting thing. Not only are white males becoming more and more caught in this trap, Pastor Waller, but young ladies now seem to have found need to emulate this same mentality. And they call it being hard or rough, right? And I was out today, and a young lady, bless her heart, she had her top strapped down real so she looked flat, but she had her pants hanging to show her behind. And I'm saying to myself, Jesus Christ, a pretty young lady. Now, it's bad enough that the guys are showing theirs, right? But these young ladies now want to emulate what they think is cool and what the media gives you attention and praise to where they're even losing their sense of what it means to be a young lady or woman. Yeah, talk to me about that, y'all.
Yep.
Come on, 8112, help me out.
Okay. I'm really sitting here. I'm trying to take in as much of this as I know how to.
Okay.
My point is there are a lot, and there are some in every family. And it is so sad, and it weakens me because, as a mother, I would like to see my girls grow up to be productive young women, and they have.
Yes,
but I would like
yes.
to see my little sisters out there, as we call them, we're supposed to treat them,
right.
to be young ladies, not looking like no boy or
mm-hmm.
none of that, because you will not be productive. Half of them don't know who they is because they having babies with men, and they making a playmates out of girls.
Wow.
But that's the times we share. It's the times we live in. It's called revelation. I got that.
Woof.
It does.
When we stop
caring, we are now the elders. So when we stop caring and try to reach out, I may say one word to somebody in my family that may make a whole different, turn their whole life around, and I hope and pray I do. And if I don't by chance, I hope maybe I can say something to someone else's child, be boy nor girl, call themselves man nor woman, that may make a difference in their life.
Right, right. I don't know what happened, but looked like Pastor Waller in 3072, their calls dropped. Hopefully they can call us back here. And let me just encourage
you. The weather.
Okay, let me encourage you again, if you're listening, that you can call us here at the studio, 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to entertain your question or comment. Thank our Facebook friends for joining us there. Or you can ask the question on Facebook if you like. If you follow us on Facebook, pose your question. We'll share it here live with the on air and kind of go from there. Now, so it's just you and I right now, 8112, so we'll just chat about it until we get the others back,
yes,
perhaps.
That's
with your experience, and I know you've raised sons yourself, with your experience, do you think that culturally, and I don't really let me start with the African American subculture first, okay? Do
mm-hmm.
you think that there's a need for the African American subculture to be focused and deliberate about how we prepare our young men for independence and responsibility?
I can only speak as a mother who's raised five sons.
Sure. Yes, ma'am.
And without me being raised by a woman myself, alone,
okay.
I can only speak upon what I know.
Okay,
I know
that's
this,
all I'm asking. That's all,
yes,
I'm,
sir.
From your experience.
I know just that she encouraged all seven of my brothers to stay away. You can do what you do. We can teach our children all we want to teach them, things we need them to know. But there's going to be some part of that will stay with some. It may not stay with all, but some. And so, therefore, the reason why I stated that I was looking for insight because maybe I made mistakes along the way, and they're not bad children, grown folks. They ain't kids at all. But maybe I can help the teenager, like my grandson or something that's a teenager or
sure.
something else. Maybe if I can share this radio station with him, he can listen in. And now you got not only your dad, you got big brothers out there and uncles and pastors listening to you.
Sure.
If you're hurt.
Sure.
And a lot of them are hurt. You are so correct. A lot of them are hurt. And us being women, we know how we raise them, so we want them to be the way we raise them. But once they come from a boy to a man, you can't raise them anymore.
Wow.
Life.
Wow. I appreciate that.
Them.
I appreciate you saying that. That's real. That's real.
And maybe you can tell them something that they're not going to listen to me because I'm a woman and their mother and grandmother. And
but you know, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's just it right there. What happens is when they can't find the answers, the tendency is to become introverted, as they call it, or go within and just stop talking and hold in their their fears and their inhibitions and their frustrations until they build
exactly
up to a point where they just explode.
Pastor,
huh?
I'm going to call my young men, and I'm going to tell them I was listening to the radio station tonight. I was listening to the pastor, and he made a comment that I enjoy hearing, and maybe it's a rude awakening for me. It's time for you to put down them motherly gloves and let these men be who they are, which I've tried to do that. Maybe I ain't going about it the right way, but they're not bad people, and
no,
they're not
no.
crime like that, but that's irrelevant because, as you said, they become angry and hostile. And
yes,
sometimes
ma'am.
It is against the very people that love them the most.
That is, wow. Wow. In fact, they're the first people they turn on, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Oftentimes, they're the first people.
And you don't understand why they're doing it, but this is a heavy topic because a lot of times mothers that really have tried very hard to bring them up the right way, and
right.
they did, and you thought they wasn't listening, but they was.
But they were.
And my point is, sometimes it takes the third party to step in.
Okay, okay. Point well taken. We got 1098 join us. Have you been able to follow us, 1098?
No, just came on.
Okay, we're talking about how to de-escalate the anger of a young male. Pastor Wallace been with us a little bit. Pastor, I brought this topic up tonight largely because of our conversation Tuesday, particularly with you and 3072. I don't know what happened. We lost her. Maybe she'll get back with us there. But
yeah.
you were talking about an experience you had recently with the young man who was obviously angry for whatever his reasons were, and, you know, he got caught up, and he found himself in a predicament where he was going to take his frustration out on you, right?
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
you had to de-escalate that situation. And
right.
You understand what I'm saying? And 3072, mm-hmm. she's back with us. She mentioned that there was a crisis on her block, and she wanted to be involved, and I appreciate 8112 explaining to her that even when you do that, you got to make sure you don't overextend yourself to where the good you're trying to do turns into a bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, Pastor, go ahead, Pastor, go ahead.
Yeah, 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 it makes sense. However, it's just at that moment, you know, it's how fast can you take it to the thought. You know,
right.
the thought of what you would not say, what you would not do in a time like that, and then something takes place to the child, and you'll be
mm-hmm.
thinking what I should have done. You see,
right.
so it's a catch-22 to that. However, when you're coming
yeah.
from the heart, and then you're thinking about it takes a village to raise up a child, serious, you know, that's just one of the things that still should be good today, you know. And
wow.
even though it doesn't go like that today, but it still should be something that's still there that would make you feel like she felt. She felt like, I got to do something right now. I mean, because to wait and then something happened, I think it'll weigh heavy on her. Just like what weighed heavy on the young lady who's on the other line now with a kid that was a friend to her son. You know, she kind of put the weight on her, knowing good well it wasn't her fault, but she felt like she could have done more by way of hearing this young man cry out to her without crying tears.
Sure.
She felt like because of what happened to him, she walked around with that on her shoulders. So
right.
that's why I'm saying what I said about the little guy also, and I'm going to give it back to you in just a second. When I pulled
okay.
up at a gas station, there was a guy with a BMW with a drop top.
Mm.
And I can tell the young brother, you know, he was looked like he was loaded with money to go with his drop top BMW. However,
mm-hmm.
he got something that money couldn't buy. In my sight, it was a child in the car unattended. And
oh,
the person
wow.
didn't have to open the door. They just could have snatched the little baby out because the top is already dropped.
Wow.
And what he did was he appreciated me so much that, in other words, he was humbled through the whole process of realizing, he said, I won't do that again.
Right,
you see?
Right.
Just think about him saying that to him because he's in a drop top BMW. And looking like big money, And then here I am over here in something that don't even fit to even say nothing to him. And he took it upon himself, man, and I really appreciate knowing that you just don't know whether it's a good time to do it or not. So, yeah, man, I just have to say, man, I think you got to move on something when it's time, you know. It's an urgency, man, because a lot of them are just doing things. They're not thinking. They're just doing, man. I've been ignorant before. I've been dumb. I've been young and dumb. Energy just out the roof, you know. But,
it's like 8112 said, they're not bad people. Not that they're bad people.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
That's not the issue.
Not at all.
The issue is that there are some circumstances. Now, some people say they know right from wrong, 3072. They know right from wrong. They know what they're doing. Ain't no excuse for that. Is that true, 3072?
Yeah. Hold on. Again, I have some friends that they know what they're doing. There ain't no excuse, but they, you know, feeling sorry for themselves or defeated or like they don't have no other choice. They don't feel like working.
They don't feel like working.
It's easy.
Well, who gonna take care of them if they don't work?
The streets, I guess.
What? You know, Outkast 1098, I hear so many young people who justify smoking weed as a way of... They say, this is how we deal with all this, man. Man, I'd go crazy if I could hit me a little bit. That's what they say, Outkast. What about that,
it ain't
that
no
notion?
Young folks, Pastor, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You got a lot of people older than myself that
that's
say
the truth.
Same doggone thing. So it ain't
wow.
just young people that just don't in.
Wow. Wow.
And
let me hear from Outkast right quick. What about that, Outkast?
Stupidity. That's what it is, stupidity. You know, I used to fool I had fooled myself like that once upon a time. You know, like I couldn't do anything unless I smoked me a joint. Yeah. Okay. How wrong I was, you know, but you know, it's a mental thing. Yeah. Call a psychiatrist.
If people hear you say that, they say you trying to dog them out or something. It's a mental thing. But I have to agree with you, sir. I gotta agree with you. It's something wrong. That's not normal behavior. That is not normal behavior. And if we're not honest about it, you're going to keep on repeating the same behavior or engaging in it, you know? And that's just not normal, period.
Burn those memory cells up, you know,
That's right.
I mean, because it does have an effect on the brain.
Hold on one second.
Can I ask this?
Sure. Go ahead, 37, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, okay, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you talk about marijuana and people feeling like they need that to calm their nerves. Couldn't you say the same about a pack of Newport or a nice bottle of Alizé or Cavassier or, I mean, alcohol and all of the stimulants?
Yeah.
See, there you go, Melon. There you go, Melon, 37.
She ain't Melon. I'm here.
You
put it in there.
I enjoy me a nice glass of wine every now and then, so I'm just saying.
I'm going to say
that. I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Outkast. Go ahead, Outkast.
Set yourself up for failure. You know, why don't you just take a few minutes to just meditate, and that'll do the trick. You know, I mean, you know, you set yourself up for failure. You know, a glass of wine calmed me down. Yeah, well, that's a mellow vine. You got yourself psyched out.
Intervene when he's done. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead, Outkast.
No, I'm done, ma'am.
What I was going to say is this. Sometimes, I mean, a lot of people do what they do, and they contain themselves to do what they do and how they do it.
I'm going to tell you, Professor.
Like be casting judgment on somebody that say they're on drugs and they can't stop. Maybe they can't. And that's just like me saying, maybe I consider talking to a therapist or a psychiatrist, but and as the pastor was stating with us, and we say, God will help me through this. But see, true story, my testimony is he has helped me. And, yes, I drank me a beer and I had me a shot of gin along the way.
Okay.
And I'm not going to lie to nobody for no reason to make them feel better about what I'm talking about because I witnessed this myself. And these young
right.
kids
you know,
out
you
here,
know what?
It may
you
be
know what
some,
I, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It may be some people that smoke weed that may need that. That's probably,
okay.
I know the government legalized it because it's about money, but maybe that's why they did it.
Go ahead. Let me, wait.
Can
let's
I say
hear from Pastor Waller. Go ahead, Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
What I would like to say is that I'm sitting here with a young lady who brought her son down to look at the ministry. They wanted to see it. And
okay.
in the midst of that, he's 15.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
he doesn't indulge. He doesn't indulge at all.
Okay.
And that's the hope I just shared with his mother. Was it okay for me to say something about that? Because she's unsure. And he is a young, innocent kid.
Mm-hmm.
And
yay.
At 15 and have never indulged in any of that. So
that's
there is hope.
Yay.
And that's the joy of knowing that her, she's bringing him up with the admonition of the Lord and all that. However, remember, there's an enemy that's out there seeking who he may devour, correct?
Yeah.
He won't get this young man because
Amen.
he's already desiring the will of God more and more each day, and he has
you
a hunger for it. So this is the
all
beauty
right.
of it. When we was talking about this and talking about the marijuana, and I just wanted to share that right here. And if I asked him a question, are you curious? Are you interested in smoking marijuana? Matter of fact, I think I might need to ask him. Are you curious about marijuana? Are you thinking about smoking marijuana in your life?
Oh,
you know how he's looking at me?
You know how
how he's looking at me?
Yeah, man,
he's looking at me like, are you out of your mind? You know, that's how he's looking at me. So I want you to understand there's a message in how he's looking at me like, okay, what is he going to do for me? It's not going to make him feel, what you say it make you do something about your mind or something you said earlier about how you all did just something to your mind and things like that. Well, he's sitting there looking at me like, that's not going to help me do anything. So I like that. Yeah, I think, he's a great kid.
That's
I just like how he looks.
That's why, with all due respect, and I love young for not doing what he ain't doing. I respect that and I appreciate that. You cannot say what nobody will not or will do. You can't even say what you will or will not do at a certain point in your life because you don't know. You can say, I hope.
I don't want to do that, hopefully, by the grace of God, is what I say. When you get finished, let me tell you, with all the love that we have for each other, hold on one second, 812. You can say that. I'm never going to do it. You can say that. The Bible says that. Now, if we say what the Bible says, we're all right. Remember, I say I don't. Hold up. Remember, I say I don't trust me, but I trust what the Word of God says.
Right.
Word of God says, if you.
And
say,
I believe
wait a minute,
it also
hold,
says.
Let me say
hold on, 812.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Hold up. Hold up.
Sure
you got to wait.
Right,
you got
to
wait.
Let's do it 812.
You say, if
go
you
ahead,
do these things. He says, if you do these things, if you make your call in an election, sure, and if you do these things, you will never fall. Never. What never means? Never. If you follow this order, you'll never fall. So that's the reason why I say that it's in the Bible, and that's what I'd rather stand on. See, I stopped trusting me 26 years ago as a result of that. And so, you know, you can say never, whether you carry it out or not, you can say it.
Right.
A lot of people say a lot of things, but they don't stand on it. But if you say
right.
it and stand on it, nobody can take you from that. That's your own steadfastness, and you have a right to stand firm on it. That's why he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's an instruction right there. So you can say never, and it's all right. I've heard people say never, say never.
Well,
if you show it to me in the Bible.
Right, hold on one second.
You know, because that's what,
hold on, 812.
That's what
I need to
stand
bring
on.
In. I got another caller here. I think it's Professor Robinson. Good evening, sir, and welcome to the conversation.
Good evening, good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
How's everybody doing?
Good evening, Professor.
Good, good, good.
I'm just enjoying the dialogue.
So far?
I guess my question is, at what point do we start to hold people accountable and stop accepting the excuses? One of the questions that, and I brought this up before about the number of jobs that are available, and one of the comments was that there are people with multiple degrees that can get these jobs. And so I'm just trying to, when do we start to really address, you know, if it's fear, if it's whatever, but if there are 6 million jobs available and 1.5 million black folks that aren't working, we should be able to help at least a million of them find gainful employment. And
okay.
So the jobs are there, the resources are there, the support is there, but we continue to accept excuses. And when do we change, and when do we start to hold ourselves and everybody else accountable?
Okay. Great question. Great question. I'm gonna begin by responding, and I'll let the rest of the panel here share their thoughts. But really, it's okay, individual and a collective effort. But I think it's more of the individual's task and duty than it is the collective thing. Now we were just talking about people making excuses to indulge in many superfluities of life. And they justify it, right? But at the end of the day, if you don't do it, you're not going to die. In fact,
right.
When you were born, it was not a condition of your birth. But something calls you to start that and to justify in your mind, I need this in order for me to be happy, to be whole, to be fulfilled, knock my head
Can
off,
I
whatever.
Say something?
Hold on one
Can
second.
I
Let
say
me finish
something?
Oh, hold on one second. Hold on one second. Let me finish my thought, then I'll come to you, okay? And the truth of the matter is that when my friends and my family don't enable me to make excuses for myself, Professor, I'll be in a much better place to hold myself accountable for what I do. I hope that makes sense to you. Go ahead, 3072. What were you trying to say?
Well, I wanted to correct or – Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, baby.
Okay. So I wanted to just make myself clear. I at no point is encouraging anyone to, like you said, feel like you need this in order to feel good. I don't feel that way. When I drink, it's because that's what I want to do, not because I can't get out of bed. Or I can't go to my house. Or no, right. So nobody needs that. I just want to reiterate that. And you're perfectly fine. You can make it without that. But I think what's most important with the guys choosing, again, choice, self-choice, it should be, man, overly stressed. It's important to know your choices and the consequences.
Okay. That's a point well taken. Point well taken. Okay. I think, was that you, Pastor, that was trying to say something earlier? Or was that Professor Robinson?
Well, I did have a question, and I want to go back to one of the things that you said before, Pastor Dockery, about, you know, de-escalating and what do you say to this person. And I guess I have a question that says, why don't you want one of these jobs?
Why don't you want
one of these careers? Yes,
okay,
why don't you want one of these
careers? Okay, so Joe, they don't want one of them jobs. I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound disrespectful.
That's excellent. Now let them tell us that they do and what's getting in the way.
Listening. I'm interrupting now because I feel like it's necessary. Who's to say some of these young guys, black, white, blue, or green, don't have the education and don't want a job? Nobody can say what nobody wants. You don't know what they want unless you talk to them directly. And they show you different. When they show you different, they can tell you anything, but if they show you, yes, I got this, and I can do this.
All right, let me respond.
I will do this, and I'm going to keep struggling until I get the job done. I've seen it myself, and they get the job.
Okay, 8112.
Yes, sir.
8112. Let me share with you real-life experience as someone who's advocated for particularly young men and getting them jobs, okay? Here's the reality. Now, I can't say this for everybody, all right? I'm not suggesting that this is everybody, but there is a well-documented number of individuals who have been given opportunities to have work opportunities or jobs. I have personally put a number of them on jobs, okay, through my organization. And many of them don't last a whole 6 months.
You know why?
That has to. Hold on one second. It begs the question, what's going on? Now, when I go back to them and follow up with them, and I ask that question, what happened? Why aren't you there? The response I get and the conclusion I draw is that I believe they are afraid of successfully maintaining a job and doing something different than what they were conditioned to do in the first place in that trigger environment.
I respect I forget my thoughts, sir.
Hold on. Don't lose your thoughts.
I ain't trying to.
Hold my hand.
Thank you so much. It's because some of them, as you well stated, are very afraid because they're used to doing what they have been doing some.
Yes.
And sometimes people, when they get out of their zone, they get scared.
Let me help you right there. Here's the deal. When you go to work for someone else, you have to meet the expectation they set for them, for you,
yes,
in that
you
environment.
Do.
And
yes,
watch this. Listen to me. If you don't have the soft skill discipline to be accountable to your own expectation, how are you going to meet somebody else's expectation? See, it's
you
not just getting them the job, but it's about getting their mind ready to be accountable first to themselves and then to other people.
Wow.
That's part of the problem, Professor, why it is the job so unfilled. So it's not just about the job, and that's what I keep telling people. It's not about just the job, but it's about the individual's desire. See, if a person really want to do something, that's what they're going to do. You ain't got to excuse my English. You don't have to do anything for them. What I found out, people are going to do and get where they want to go and do what they want to do.
That's right.
Now they can run that game and blow smoke all they want to, but the reality is,
whatever
a person want to do, that's what they're going to bend over backwards to do.
Yes, sir.
You ain't lying about that.
So if they're lazy, they're going to continue being lazy.
Yes, sir.
You know, simple as that. And,
professor,
ask the question, when do you start? Right then and there, professor. Right then and there.
You got the floor, professor.
So I was saying, if just listening to the conversation, we are saying yes, then we're saying no, then we're saying yes, then we're saying no to a question that I asked and said, what are they afraid of? And if they're not afraid, you need to do this, you need to do this. Now we're saying that they are afraid. If we agree that some of them, not all of them, are fearful, and it's not about the system, it's not about this, it's not about that, it's about them. So Pastor Dr. Easy said, if they want to, then how do we get them to change that mindset to say, yes, I want to? And how do we stop giving them the excuses and the safety nets so that they will deal with the real issues, the underlying issues?
I don't know if you heard my monologue. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead, finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no. So someone else is going to say something.
Go ahead. I finish your thought. I cut you off.
No, I'm finished. I'm finished.
All right. So in response to your question, I don't know if you heard my monologue, but toward the end, what I pointed out is the stages that leads to the explosion or the violence or the disruption. And it's not necessarily just the fight or physical. It could be a total disruption of their lives. And where it all stems is fear. And the fear comes from ignorance. Ignorance of what? Not knowing how to establish yourself as an individual who is a viable, productive citizen of the society or the world you live in. There are certain skill sets that a parent, a father, and a mother should teach their children from birth so that when they become of the age of a responsible adult in society, they have the skill sets to maintain themselves. Unfortunately, particularly in urban America, these skill sets are absent. We link it to the fact that you have too many broken homes. What do you mean by broken home, Dr.? I'm talking about the fact that for whatever reason, the father's not there. And children are growing up with imbalance or dysfunctionality in their life. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying this to discourage or discourage anyone. I'm simply making a point. Hold on one second. Let me finish. Professor, I'm simply helping you to understand the root cause of the fear that impedes forward progress on an individual basis, and it makes it impossible for them to participate with others in a group setting or a larger setting. That's the nature of the problem. Until we get to that, you're going to continue to put a guy on a good job, and he'll mess it up every time, not only for himself, but for other people that come behind him. Now, 8112, you were trying to say something, then 3072.
I'm going to let her go first, but then I really do need to say something a little bit.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, 81.
And, you know, I can speak up on this genuinely because I have a certain fear, not from myself, not from anything in my life that I do. My fear is very real to me. It may not consist that nobody else would be real to them, but it is a scary thing. And we were talking about mental illness. Now we're talking about how to escalate the anger in a young man.
Right.
But as a mother raising five sons, as a daughter came from seven brothers, how do you de-escalate? How do you figure out what is triggering some things in some people?
Well,
okay, I know you say talk to your therapist, this and that. And sometimes I had damn therapist tell me, I lost your files.
I was going to say.
Talk to me, I'm listening.
Go ahead.
I wanted to add to that. The professor was asking the question, how do you? So, yes, I agree with 81 about fear. Fear is real, it's normal, it's natural. That's what we need to get them first to understand. That's okay to be scared. Life is scary. You don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next. You get used to a certain way, and then now, even if it's for the better, you got to make a change. It's okay. So they need somebody to help process them through that change. That's all.
Because change is a problem for some people.
Hold on one second. Guys, we don't want to walk
change
on one
your
another.
Life, when you have drastic changes in your life, change is a problem. And now,
hold on one second.
Hold on one second.
She was saying something. We don't want to walk on each other. Give her a second.
I
let's finish her thought.
I apologize.
That's okay. I still love you. That's all right. I still love you. But we want to make sure everyone get a chance to finish their thought, and then we'll come right back to you because I think you were asking Professor something there. Go ahead, 3072. Finish your thought, and then we'll go
no,
from there.
No, I was just trying to add to what the professor was saying because a lot of it is fear. So, right, that's if we can address the fear thing, then maybe we can reach them on other aspects and other levels.
Professor
okay.
didn't do that. I did that.
All right,
81.
All right, that's settled. That's 81-12 got that one. Game ball, 81-12. All right. So, Professor, what were you? Any further comment on that before we move on?
Well, just real quickly, when you mentioned the broken homes, and I'm going to go back to a question that I asked before, is related to religion and when people are woke. If the solution is to fix these broken homes, how likely and what time frame? If that's one of the things to get men back in the homes, what's the strategy and what does that time frame look like to bring households back together? If that is a key component to addressing the issues in. If that is a key component to addressing the issues within our communities.
I guess. Okay. I think 3072 wanted to respond to that.
Well, first of all, a time frame. He got 5 other kids with another woman now. So there's more dynamics added to him coming back home. On top of, we have a wandering eye. He has a wandering eye that just won't stay.
Wait a
minute. He won't look my way.
Let her go, leave her
alone. So, a time frame and bringing him back to the home. Are you going to bring the sad chick and the other kids back too?
Let me stop you for a second. Let me stop you for a second. Here's the truth. And I'm going back to the cultural disease. All right. I said disease. That means you have something that's abnormal that is eating you up, destroying you. Yes, ma'am. That's what I said. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. Within the Afro-American subculture, young boys are allowed to grow up physically strong but mentally weak.
Yep.
And I'm gonna say within the last 60 years or better, if not longer.
That's
okay.
That's
well, listen to what I'm telling you now. I'm telling you what I know now, not what I heard. And the problem is that culturally, in the church, in our families, in our social institutions, we're not teaching young boys to grow up and become responsible men, but we're allowing them to grow up following and feeding into their volitions and whatever their impulses tell them make them feel good. 3072.
Yeah.
That's
agree.
When you get a grown
yes.
boy who's only thinking about feeding himself but not assuming responsibility.
I disagree.
Exactly.
I disagree, Pastor.
Okay, you're entitled to disagree.
I agree.
I don't.
I agree.
Explain.
Because I told
Explain
him
why
that
you disagree.
I was such world to be responsible, you will be held accountable for your own actions. You are a man now. You're no longer a boy. This is how I talk to mine. I don't know how y'all talk to y'all. I said corrected if I'm wrong, and I have no problem with that nor shame with it.
Okay.
And
right.
I also
right.
said tonight, it's called how to de-escalate the anger
right.
in a young man. I said I am willing for insight.
Okay, I'm trying to give it to you. I'm trying to give it
not
to you.
Not telling me that you're not.
Well, listen to me. Just because you chronologically listen to me, 8112. Just because you chronologically grow up.
Sorry.
All right,
I'm trying.
Just because you are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Just because an individual, a male, grows up to be 45 years old, does not mean he's a man.
That's true.
Yep. Right.
Just because an individual, his oogonia turns into spermagonia, and now he can make a baby, don't make him a man.
Yes, sir.
Just because an individual has a lot of political wealth or power or influence does not make them a man.
Yep.
The problem is we have chronologically, socially evolved grown boys. And one of the problems in society why you can't respect women and why children go without fatherhood and covering is because too many grown boys are making babies.
And let me say this. And let me say this. So even if I was down for the cause to bring my man back, and he got three other kids, can you manage us two women?
You don't need two women. You can't manage yourself. How you gonna manage two women? Help me, older girl.
Some of them do a good job.
Exactly.
And who's mine? See, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. Somebody talk to me.
Oh my!
I can take care of the first household.
Come on with it. You take care of the first household.
Barbara Mason said, "I'm calling to let you know your man is cheating on us." Come on,
really?
Talk to me,
right?
Go ahead, 1098. This is the problem with society now, as you were saying. Making excuses for these grown men. Making excuses for these grown women. You know, stop making excuses. You know? The thing is this. You going to get with it or you going to quit. And the way that you're going to quit, you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it at all.
Right.
You know.
Hey, 1098. You know who the benefactor of our excuses is? Our children. They're the ones that carry the brunt of the weight because they grew up repeating the same cycle that we put before them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And that's
excuses.
The
problem. I mean, look. Listen to me, Brother Doctor.
I'd rather be sober
than drunk.
Well,
5 days a year, you know. I would much rather feel good being sober than drunk. That's a mental block.
That's a mental issue.
Tell you what, all these habits they got a jail. Put them in there for about a month. You know, see what they do.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And I rest my case on that.
A lot of your men. He said he'd rather be sober than drunk. A lot of these guys that sell weed don't even smoke weed. A lot of them don't. They're smart.
You don't use your supply.
Also, sir, there's a lot of them that do. Some of them do, and there's a lot of them say, but they will sell you these things to get you hooked. See, that's my point.
Yeah.
Reverend Waller, elaborate on that issue there concerning using your own drug. And I hear Reverend Waller on that.
Hold on one second. Go ahead and finish your thought, 8112, then we'll go to Pastor Waller.
Thank you so much. But my point is, at the end of the day, I was trying to listen in for a reason. I touched in what Pastor was talking about.
Dockery, I'm sorry, with no disrespect
to Pastor Wallace, how do we, as 18, get the attention, which a lot of times it's hard to do, of the young guys and young women out here. It ain't about just me, as he stated today. I said, I want to listen because as a mother, maybe I made a lot of mistakes even today about how to talk to my young men, which are grown men, mind you. I can't come like I did when they was little bitty boys because they're not boys. They're grown men.
Right.
And they're not doing anything bad, and they're very positive and very intelligent.
Okay.
And that's why I want them to tune in to this radio station. If I can get them to tune in, I can get many others. Give them my number.
Hey, give them my number. Tell them, let me holler at them. I'll get them. I'll talk to them. Give them my number. I will do that, sir.
I respect
it. And tell them don't make me have to send my dog after me.
This is educational for myself as well. So I can say I got a better insight because I was on the radio station and I was listening in, and I started not to call, and I said, maybe you should call, and I did, and I'm grateful for that. So thank you. So everybody else, I respect everybody. Y'all go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Let's go to Pastor Waller. We got about 10 minutes. Man, look at the time. My goodness. Whew. Pastor, go ahead. Will you respond to that?
Their own drugs.
Will you help 1098 wants you to elaborate on that, about a dope dealer that uses his own stuff.
Yeah, man, it's an insane thing, man, because I noticed that once a person starts using drugs, and then you become, I became a person that wanted to use it every day.
Okay.
And so being that I wasn't rich, that means I got to find a way to make sure that I can have it every day. So I became a liar.
Okay.
And in doing so, I had a double dose of insanity going on.
Wow.
I was getting it on my own supply, which I got to be the first to say I was the greatest fool that I've ever met, you know, in doing so. Because I was so locked into it that I couldn't get free. I looked to my right. I got the dope. I looked to my left. I'm doing the dope. So, therefore, it was an ongoing nonstop for 20-plus years of my life. Insane, I must add. And I heard the sister was talking about getting them guys to listen to the broadcast. Just keep telling them, you keep doing what you're doing. It's going to happen. And the joy is that there is freedom. And that's why it takes someone who knew how to get free and stay free and teach people that it's a way to escape. And once you escape, that means you got a way. So if I smoked marijuana yesterday and I got away today, that means I'm free. Now I have a choice today to say, well, I use again for the rest of my life. And I just never do. And when I say never do, I can stand on that. You know why? Because I'm grown. And you take an 18-year-old person, they're young, and the guys fit in with other guys, right? And so the hip thing to do for most of them is to try it. One may never have, and then offer it to them, and they tried, and there it is. It takes them 20 years before they can stop. So, you know, it's still hope. And I'm going to say this and turn it back over to you, Pastor. This is why God knew I needed some help. Okay, as he gave me a book that's entitled Still High, so a person can know how to stay high and don't have to worry about getting high. See, that's the difference. Getting high is one thing, staying high is another. You said it. I'd rather be sober than being drunk. And, man, I thought that was so wonderfully said, because that's what we need to teach today. See, it can be taught. You can be high without taking a hit or anything. And, man, that's the new thing. That's the new thing today. New thing out there. Tell them to get a hit of that. Get a hit of being free. Like you said, being sober. Okay. My goodness, man, that was awesome.
Our time is running out on us.
I hate to
cut the conversation short, but our time is running out. Let me just say this, and then I'm going to hear from everybody, and we got 7 minutes now. Man, I don't know what Pastor Wallace doing with the clock.
Not again.
Again. But I want to just make this very clear. I know Professor said it sounds like we're going back and forth. I'm going to speak on authority as being the host and producer of the show. And my position is, take it or leave it, that we do have a problem. And the problem is that the anger comes out of ignorance, because culturally we failed to properly raise our children. And that don't mean you can't start now. Some of them are grown. They got to learn all over again. They got to go through what Nicodemus went through. You must be born again. What, you want me to go back to my mom? No, you got to change your mind. And before you get anywhere, you got to recognize you need to change your mind. So that may hurt some people's feelings, because they may be grown and musty and feel like they got it going on. But look, it ain't that strong. You think you got it going on, but it ain't that strong. You need to change your mind. So that's the first step. We de-escalate them by taking them away from the trigger environment, and we process them through what has not been profitable for them, and demonstrate to them how to change that. That's the process that I'm offering tonight. Take it or leave it. With that being said, we got about 5 minutes. Let's go here and try to get a final thought from everybody. And again, before I do that, Tuesday, Pastor Waller will be at the helm for us. We'll be traveling, but we'll be back Thursday night. Now, we appreciate everybody on Facebook, Miller Major, Derek Moore, Pastor Summerall, look like Professor Robinson and Angela Smith. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, LaRon Robert, LaRon Coleman, I'm sorry. All right, with that, let's go ahead. Let me full time run out on this. Go ahead, 8112. Give me about 30 seconds now. Give me 30 seconds. Tell me how much you love me.
I love you guys. I respect you guys. This has been a journey for me that I haven't had the opportunity to have. And I want y'all to be blessed.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. All right. What about it, 3072?
I want to echo what she said. I love all you guys. I love the dialogue, the show, and I thank y'all for having dinner with me tonight. I was able to do the show and eat. Now I'm in the bed waiting on work.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
bless you. Thanks for joining us. Okay. So what about Outkast? Give me something I can hold on to, man.
I'm trying to understand. So Pastor Waller be doing the show Tuesday, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and another thing, this is here for the professor. You know, a lot of times I don't go along with statistics, but one of the statistics that I like is when he mentioned how many black children got high school diplomas, about 2 million. Professor?
There are 26.7 million African Americans in this country in 2017 that had at least a high school diploma or better.
And I love it. And I know the good statistics. And I know my black children are not dumb. And I hope.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Right.
All right. Well, that's a good segue, Professor. Give us a final thought before we turn it over to Pastor Wallace.
Yeah. One of the things as we move forward and we talk about solutions similar to the conversation about bringing the men or, making the families whole again, we really need to look at, what will that take in order to make that happen? And because at the end, we can talk, but we have to put strategies in place that are going to change the outcomes, and it has to be significant. And so we need to understand as we talk about these solutions, and Pastor Waller mentioned, you have to be able to, you've walked in that person's shoes, and I challenged that before. We have a lot of people that have been incarcerated and a lot that have been released. And if they leverage their, learnings to help others, we wouldn't be where we are. And so there are other people out there who want to help and can help. And they didn't experience those issues in their lives.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate that. Pastor, we got about 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for having a say. And I also want to thank you, Pastor Dockery, for what you're doing. The number one thing that I like to share with everybody that's tuning in right now is to Tuesday, make a call in, and we are going to talk about some things that has to do with your gift. We're going to speak about the gift, and it would be a wonderful opportunity because it's time to stir up the gift and then see what comes. And when we do that, the action goes along with the talk at that point. So we got to stir it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we appreciate you all. Man, time. I hate that we have. But with that being said, thank you. You've been listening to Talk Straight, How to De-escalate the Anger of a Young Male. I hope somebody got something out of this conversation. Thank you, Facebook group. Thank you, callers on the Blog Talk platform, and all of you that have joined us tonight. Pastor Waller, thank you as always. 8112, I love you. Hold my hand. Hold my hand.
Blessed night.
All right, we're going to get out of here on that.
All right.
Yo.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,